Encourage you to follow along. I'm in 1 Timothy in the first chapter this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Also want to encourage you, if you have not picked up a prayer guide for Hoosier 1, I want to encourage you to do that. We have those at the entrances, the exits when you leave out that you can pick up, and it gives you a 30-day scriptures to read and to pray over that one that you know needs to come to Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I want to encourage you to be praying for your one. I've got my one, and I'm praying for them daily. And so I pray this morning that you're doing the same. And again, I pray that God would just water those seeds that are being planted, and we'll see a great harvest of that. Most of us know John Newton as the writer of the great hymn, Amazing Grace. But John Newton also wrote his own epitaph. And it says this: John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith that he had long labored to destroy. It is that John Newton came to a point and place in his life where he came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. And until John Newton's dying day, he never forgot that he was simply a sinner saved by grace. Paul understood that. Paul was a man who lived his whole life with the understanding that he was simply a sinner saved by grace. I think sometimes in our religious world, in our religious practice, we forget sometimes that we're simply sinners saved by grace. Somewhere along the line, we feel like that we've been elevated to some other standard. Friend, we need to understand this morning. Our testimony is this: we're all just simple sinners saved by grace. Amen? Amen. A couple of you agree? All right. Track with me here this morning now. So let's look this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Here's Paul sharing a bit of his testimony again. He says here that that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, he says, of whom I am chief. And then he says in verse 16, however, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul takes this opportunity again to point to his own testimony. And this morning, we want to just look at these little verses. I want to give you three insights into this passage, and then I'm going to ask you one question, okay? So get ready, all right? We're going to look at three insights, and then I've got one question that I want to ask you at the end. It's kind of like an open book test, all right? So you'll be ready for it, right? Hello? Okay, y'all get slow getting started here this morning, okay? So notice, first of all, in this passage, we see it is a trustworthy saying. Paul says here, this is a faithful saying. Some translation may say a trustworthy saying. And it is worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says, what I'm sharing with you is something that is trustworthy. It's something that you can believe. Four other times in this passage, Paul uses this word trustworthy, or this phrase, that it is a faithful saying. And then back earlier, he talks about in verses 3 and 4, he talks about there's going to be some false doctrines and some myths and endless genealogies and all those kind of things. And then he says in verse 6 that there will be others that have been wandered away and they'll get caught up into meaningless talk and all those kind of things. He says, but what I'm sharing with you right now, it's trustworthy. It's faithful. You can hear this. You can hold on to this. You can believe this. I read a USA and World News report,
And it said this. Get ready now. I want you to put your shock faces on when I share this with you, okay? They did a survey. They did some study, some scientific research, and they found that every person lies. Did you know that? Now, some of you are going, not me. Well, you just lied, okay? You just lied if you said you didn't lie. And here's what's real remarkable. You're really going to get shocked at this. They found that politicians lie more than anybody. I know you're shocked by that, right? Listen, Paul says, hey, what I'm sharing with you this morning is trustworthy. What I have to say to you, you can take to the bank. Here is something utterly different than the words that you are hearing from other people in the world. He says, what I'm sharing with you this morning has truth, and it has the truth of God Himself behind them. He says, this testimony is of what? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You can argue about anything you want to. You can debate Scripture. But listen, there is one fact that you can never dispute, and that is that Jesus Christ came for the sole purpose of dying on a cross for the sins of the world. And this is trustworthy. We can trust this. Listen, you know, the Bible is a remarkable book. The Bible has lasted and been withheld and been upheld, I should say, over the last 2,000 years. We've debated Scripture, we've argued Scripture, we've dissected Scripture, and all the while, the Bible still remains true today. Jesus Himself said, I am the truth. And He also said, Thy Word is the truth. Scripture can never be broken. God is true to His Word. If it's written in the Word of God, and it was sufficient for Jesus, then it's sufficient for us, right? Remember when Jesus, after He was baptized, He went out into the wilderness? After He had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, He was out there, and then the devil came along, and the devil began to tempt Him. And how did Jesus overcome the temptations of the devil? He says, devil, it is written. And He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. And three times He quoted Scripture back to say, listen, if the Word of God is good for Jesus, then it ought to be good for us, right? If He can stand on the truth of God's Word, then you and I can stand on that truth as well. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 that it is impossible for God to lie. So therefore, we have this trustworthy saying, this that we can stand on, that we can stand firm on without the slightest doubt or hesitation. God Himself has spoken it, and the death of Christ and the mission of the Holy Spirit sealed it, and all of that has been secured. I'm a reader of bumper sticker theology. And I've seen this bumper sticker over and over again. It says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I thought, well, that's pretty good theology. And then I saw another bumper sticker, and I thought, that's even better. It said, God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, right? Hey, when God says it, it's settled. It's truth that we can stand on. Listen, we need to understand this morning. Why in the world would we come to a church on a Sunday morning unless we are coming to hear something that is trustworthy? If you walk out of here today and go, you know what, that preacher, man, I don't know about him. I don't know if I can believe everything he has to say. I had a group of preacher friends when I was in seminary. We did a lot of, you know, conversations just in between classes and social settings and things like that. And some of you don't know me that well. Most of you probably don't know me that well, but I'm a jokester. I like to cut up, and I like to pick at people, and I like to joke around and all those kind of things. And so I was joking around with these guys. I was telling, and one of the guys said, "Do you ever tell the truth?" And I said, "Look, I said, if I'm standing in the pulpit preaching, Brother Chris, you can believe it. Otherwise, question it." Right? Now listen. When we come to church on Sunday mornings, when we open up the truth of God's Word, we need to know that what we're hearing is truth. Not a preacher who has his own ideas about religion. Not a preacher who's preaching his own agenda. We need a preacher who preaches the Word of God and the truth of God's Word. And what Paul is saying is, what I'm telling you this morning, what I have for you to hear today is trustworthy. Listen to me. because it's speaking about how Christ came to die for sinners. What do we have to say to a world if the Christian message is not trustworthy? And so, hear me this morning. What I have to share, you can trust. And secondly, in this passage, we see a testimony of a sinner. Not only a trustworthy saying, but we see the testimony of a sinner. He says here in this latter part of verse 15, of whom I am chief. Paul wants us to understand. He says, you have to understand how great a sinner I am to understand how great a Savior He is. I hear people say all the time, well, preacher, that's good for you, but you don't know all that I've done. I don't know if Jesus could save me. I don't know if Jesus would save me. You don't know how bad a sinner I am. Paul says, I don't know about anybody else. He said, but I tell you this. He said, I'm the worst sinner of them all. And I'm telling you, if God can save me, He can save you. And here's where we mess up in our message sometimes when we're sharing. We want to tell people how great we are instead of how much of a sinner we are. Now listen, I'm not about glorifying sin. I got a testimony that'll curl your toenails, okay? I'm not wanting to glamorize sin. But what I want to do is glorify the Father. And Paul says, I am a chief among sinners. I love in Acts chapter 9 when Paul has his Damascus Road experience and he's blinded and then he gets up from there and Ananias comes to his house and talks to him and then Paul goes to and begins to preach. And I love in verse 20, it says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. This Paul who was out trying to kill Christians, he's now in the synagogues preaching that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is Jesus the Christ. That's what I would want. My heart's desire is that people that knew me before would know me now, and they would be confounded. And they would say, isn't this the guy? Isn't this the guy that grew up in church and pretended to be a Christian? Isn't this the guy that every time the Sunday school teacher walked out of the class, he crawled out the window and hid? You know, isn't he the one that his mom and daddy was always having to get on to him in church? Isn't he the one who was... But now, look what Christ has done in his life. Look at the change that's brought about. Listen, with Paul, we should often recall how God's abundant grace has saved us from our sins. Listen, I want you to notice how Paul tells us of his conversion. He says, I was just a chief among sinners. He said, I am a chief among sinners. Hey, listen, he doesn't give all of the little personal details here and what happened. He doesn't say that it was a cold day or a hot day. He didn't say that he had this ushy-gushy feeling come over him and he had tears and he felt tingles going down his back. Because all those are emotions and you may or may not feel those things. I had a dear friend one time, I went to witness to him, and he said, preacher, he said, I'd love to get saved. He said, but the Bible says you got to cry. And he said, I've never cried in my life. And I said, well, you don't have to cry to get saved. He said, you don't have to cry to get saved? I said, no, you don't have to cry to get saved. He said, well, then I'll get saved. And I said, well, let's pray, brother. I said, you just pray and you ask God to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart, be the Lord. And I walked him through a sinner's prayer. I said, you just pray that in your own words. And after you pray, then I'll pray. Man, we got down there on our knees around the coffee table. It was stone silence. I said, you just pray anytime you get ready, brother, and then I'm going to pray. I said, just pray out loud and then I'm going to pray. Stone silence. I finally looked over there at him. Big old tears was running down his face. Listen. God had broke that old hard heart. But that doesn't happen every time. You know, that's something that overcame. But listen, there's other people that's gotten saved and they've never cried before in their life. And just like him, they're saying, well, I thought you had to get saved. I thought you had. No, what you need to do to get saved is ask Christ to forgive you of your sins. That's what you need to do. And that's what Paul says. Paul says, I am a chief among sinners. Listen, when people hear testimonies like that, they think, well, that's nice for them, but what about me? I also want you to notice that Paul said, not that I was a chief among sinners. He said, I am chief among sinners. Paul recognized the fact that he was still a sinner, that he was yet not perfect, that he identified with sinners. Listen, one of the biggest problems in the church today is when we go out